A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, John Watson was back. He often joins us on a Monday or a Friday, normally to look back on the weekend's football, but of course, we can't do that at the moment. No. But,
well, we did look back on the weekend's football. It was about 35 years ago.
Yeah, there is a lot of old football being shown at the moment on TV, and Motti's voice adorns much of it. Yeah. So he took us on a bit of a trip down memory lane. Likewise, we had one of a slightly later vintage, 2014, at the Brazil World Cup, and a game of look-alike cricket that we played on Copacabana Beach. You'll hear that. We've raided the archives.
Rupert Bell has taken up to commentating on quite a strange... call it a sport, really.
Yeah, he's trying to keep his hand in commentary-wise when he's not working, but you'll hear that.
We had a little bit of a chat about what we've been up to and various things, and we did Don't Ask Me.
We did.
And I think that's about it.
I think that more or less that tells you the lot, really, doesn't it? So here it all is.
Good afternoon, Andy.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul.
How's your week? What was your weekend like, Andy? What did it consist of?
Consisted of a lot of old football. I watched the BBC did a good thing yesterday. They showed the whole of Chelsea versus Liverpool from 1997. Okay. Not just the whole game, but the whole broadcast. So it started with Dez and Alan Hansen and Jimmy.
Was that on BBC One? What channel was it on?
It's on the iPlayer. It's on the catch-up situation,
right. Fair enough.
As Glenn would say. And to be honest, I only watched the second half because we were 2-0 down at first half.
Even knowing that you'd won, you couldn't bring yourself to watch the first half when you were 2-0 down.
The goals, you know.
I just remember Luca Vialli from that match, the great comeback. He was very key to it, wasn't he?
Oh, very much, yes.
Yeah.
So, there was some... And that weekend, they showed... Because at half-time, they showed sort of goals from that weekend. And it included Trevor Sinclair's amazing overhead volley for QPR against Barnsley.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just happened to be that weekend.
Remember that goal.
In 97. So that was all good. I enjoyed the football. I'm going to ask Motti about some of them. One game that he was doing, it was, I think it was him. It was Arsenal against Watford in 1987. I sent Perry Groves was playing, so I sent him a text on Saturday afternoon after his... I thought he did great with Sam Matterface and listened to a lot of that show.
Yeah.
I sent him a thing saying, I've just seen you have a headed assist, a driving run from midfield, and basically diving for a penalty.
Oh, right.
He said, no, there was contact. There wasn't any contact.
Yeah. It's a proper dive, was it?
Yeah. But the linesman was Graham Pravda from Maidstone.
Graham Pravda?
Sure, that's Graham Pravda from Moscow.
Yeah, you would think so.
Honestly, I listened to it about six times. That's how busy I was on the weekend.
I remember Graham Pravda had a great PR machine. Never got any bad press, did he, old Graham? Yeah.
And honestly, when you the football, when you watch it, of course it looks... The actual football's fine, but the look of it's different.
Oh,
the
shirts.
The shirts will
billow.
They billow. They definitely weren't by Untuck It, I'm telling you.
No.
And just the things that with the VAR would have changed, you know. There was one incredible moment. Which game was it? I can't remember now. I think it was in the Everton's game against Ipswich, where Ipswich had a goal disallowed and then the ball went up the other end and they scored.
Right.
Everton. And I know it was
you're
the other
waiting
way
for
around.
VAR?
Yeah, you're waiting for VAR. It just didn't happen. So there you go.
Well, it wouldn't do because it's about 1980 something.
I do think, though, I mean, you know, on a serious level, I went for a walk along the river on Saturday afternoon and normally we live, you know, I don't have a garden, but we live very near, about 50 yards from the river, and it's a lovely towpath and you can just walk along either side and it's great. And normally you'll see about one or two people, especially in the week you'll see nobody. On the weekend it's a little bit busier. But honestly, it was like Oxford Street. It was just ridiculous.
Really?
It was so crowded.
Yeah.
And runners running in and out. Every time a runner's going, stop running. Stop breathing out. And in the end I said to the wife, look, this is how we can't, let's get away from this. We can't be doing this.
Yeah.
So we've now evolved a new, it's 187 steps round our building. So that's it. It's a lapse of the building because there's no people there. So that's it.
Really?
So you reduced to that. She did say, sorry, yes. She did say to me, well, we could walk in the cemetery. I went, perhaps not really.
A bit too close to home, was it?
Not your best suggestion.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
I was just saying that I walked my dog into woods near me, and most of the time, if the weather's decent, now and again, you'll get a few extra faces, people with kids without dogs wandering around. But it was rammed, Saturday and Sunday, completely rammed. I mean, look, people are in a big, wide-open space. They are socially isolating.
Well, the thing is that this wasn't. This was everybody in a narrow funnel. No. Everybody was together.
Because I think, it was pretty clear that parents are they were getting stir crazy. They got all these young kids with all this energy.
Yeah, difficult.
And they got nowhere to burn it off. So, I mean, I'd say a big open wooded area is not a bad place to do it, but the car park was carnage.
I love the pictures of you doing the Joe Wicks workout.
Yeah, so we'll hear from you this afternoon. How is your life changing at the moment? The different routines, the different things you're doing that you haven't really done before. We'd love to hear from you. My eldest son is back at the moment, and he said, right, he kept saying, we've got to do a Joe Wicks. He does the old Joe Wicks workouts a bit, so because in a confined space. So I said, yeah, all right, I'm up for that then. I took to the running machine, warmed up a bit, and then I was Joe Wicks'd for 20 minutes. Man, that was a workout. Don't work out with a bloke who's about sort of 27.
Very, very bad
idea. I'm aching. I've just worked muscles. I mean, Joe would say that's the idea, but I've worked muscles. I haven't worked for a very long time. Sumo squats. That seems to have caused me a bit of an issue.
That's not
working
good.
Some muscle groups I haven't worked for a while. So I'm going back in. It's the 7-day sweat challenge. We're 2 days in, and I'm aching like a what's it?
Well, but it looked good to me.
Crack on. I mean, you see, he was in a little while ago, Joe, on the show. Was you in there?
No, I was away.
You were away. He was a lovely lad, and he's doing a little PE lesson for kids.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, every morning. So he's doing a little for very young kids. Again, they can work off some of the excess energy.
That's a very good idea. Well done to him for that.
They are very good. They're very easy to follow. And, we recommend them.
You need that sort of thing. I did like this line there. Sunday Times published a whole load of it because, you get the old British humour coming out. And this is the one that made me laugh the most. This was from a guy called @ISOJoeJr.
Not his real name.
No, he's obviously his Twitter handle.
Yeah.
And he says, day two without sports. Found a young lady sitting on my couch. Apparently, she's my wife. She seems nice.
Yeah. There's been a few variations on that theme.
It's
isn't good. There?
Yeah, yeah.
And meanwhile, in Limassol, some bloke is taking his dog for a walk by drone.
Really?
He's attached the lead to a drone. Oh. I mean, we would say don't try that at home, because unless you're
such a bad idea if the drone takes off.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, unless you really know what you're doing with the drone. But there's the picture, Andy, to prove it. There's the bloke. It's a little kind of white, sort of fluffy dog attached to a drone being walked up and down the street. But yeah, say, only
unfortunately
one.
The drone is only about 6 feet.
Well, it is at the moment.
Yeah.
No, but this
that
is the thing.
Disaster.
Well, the kids come in and somebody leans on the controller or something. Yeah, you've really got to know what you're doing.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, Rupert, I gather I haven't seen this or know much about it, but I gather you've been doing some commentary on your own, how would you describe this, one of your own occupations and hobbies.
Well, yes, indeed. Because I'm suddenly now not doing too much else other than planting pots, I've just did a video listing the runners and riders in the Great Veg Stakes and gave a little bit of form guide as to how I think and hope they may perform over the coming months, because I will be ending up talking to my plants quite a lot, because being in splendid self-isolation, the wife's already fed up with me, so I think it's better off if I start talking to the plants and encouraging them to perform well over the coming months.
Are you a bit like Prince Charles, your old mate? Do you think it works, Rupert, talking to your plants?
Well, I just feel that, if I'm giving them as much TLC and putting them in some lovely, cherished compost, that they need to respond in kind to the TLC that I'm giving them by yielding a fruitful bounty come a couple of months' time.
I think we can hear a bit of your commentary.
Looking forward to this.
Here we are,
it's
come to this. This is Rupert Bell talking to his plants, basically. It's come to this.
Give it a couple of weeks, mate. This will be gold.
This will be putting this in for the awards. Anyway, here he is, Rupert Bell, commentating slash chatting to his plants.
under Strada's orders in the great vegetable race here. And just to give you a list of the runners and riders for this year's growing championship, that is Basil alongside Basil Cucumber. Often been a good performer in this particular greenhouse. Along here, tomatoes, and it's all tomatoes and some yellow ones at the end. Down here, well, we've got squashes looking to make a big impression. Runner beans have often also yielded great success in this particular area. Butternut squash, looking forward to see how they get on. More tomatoes. Right round here, we've got some peppers who have to be said have been very reluctant performers in recent years.
There we are. Nice. Brilliant. Giving it a bit of sport.
Hey, the old South African jockey, Basil Cucumber.
Yeah. I thought you were going to actually commentate on them growing. That would be slow commentary, wouldn't it? Yeah. Although it could come to that.
I'm hopeful with the sun beating down in the Cotswolds on my greenhouse that the Basil might be an early leader. And then I can get some basil or as basil, as my American wife says. But, yeah. I've got to do something with my time, and I might as well get growing veg, even if it goes horribly wrong. But you never know.
We heard you talking about your plums on breakfast last week, Rupert, and you've got high hopes for them, haven't you?
Well, they did. My plums last year disappointed hugely, but and that was because the frost got at them.
Yeah.
So I hope not. But this year I'm looking to bring my plums on. My pears have been disappointing, but my rhubarb is looking good. And it's sprouting elegantly near my cesspit.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
It's 4-2 Chelsea. Mark Wright in Liverpool look absolutely bewildered. Where did he come from? Ruud just leans back and savours the fourth goal.
That was an amazing cup match. It certainly brightened up your weekend this weekend, watching it back.
Well, of course, I was there. I remember it really, really well. It's my father-in-law's favourite game of all time. He recorded it and played it over and over to himself. It was a brilliant moment.
It was a great match. Yeah, well, not for a Liverpool fan, obviously.
Of course, Stan Collymore in his pomp. And the goal he scored, basically accelerated like a train. What a player he was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really. Brilliant.
Of course, John Motson was your commentator there, and you've heard a fair bit of Motty over the weekend. I think that's going to continue. People are enjoying these old games, not just the goals and the highlights, but everything around them, the entirety of the match, the punditry. So Alan Hansen and stuff on there.
Well, the Jimmy Hill and the great Des Lynam.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
And, of course, the great John Motson. Good afternoon, Motty.
Well, it's funny you should just have played that clip because I remember that match as Andy does at Stamford Bridge, Paul. It was a fourth round tie in 1997. Stamford Bridge was being rebuilt. I always remember the shed had been pulled down and that match was actually played on a three-sided ground as far as the fans were concerned. And I remember the Collymore goal, Andy, and Robbie Fowler also scored to put Liverpool 2-0 up at half-time. And then Ruud Gullit, who was the Chelsea manager, as you know, at that time, he brought on Mark Hughes as a second-half substitute. And within 5 minutes, no great surprise here, Mark Hughes scored. And then Chelsea went mad. Zola, 58 minutes, 2-2. Vialli then went crazy himself, 63 minutes, 3-2. 76 minutes, 4-2. And Chelsea went on to beat Middlesbrough in the final, when, of course, Di Matteo scored what was then the quickest goal in a Wembley FA Cup final, and Middlesbrough under Brian Robson were relegated.
It was a classic Mark Hughes goal. He chested it down, turned and smashed it in low and hard. But one question I have from that game, Morty, I was thinking about this. When in a live situation like that, would you listen to Jimmy and Alan at halftime, or did you go off and have a cup of tea and, you know, do what you had to do?
No, Andy, I listen to them all the time because they might say something, regressing a little bit into my commentary, or they might come up with something that I wanted to use in the second half. And it was the same before the game. I always listened to the discussion because I thought, you know, relevant things might be said that I wanted to refer back to. So, no, there was no sneaking away. I think probably somebody gave me a cup of tea at the commentary position. And that was the best I could do. It wasn't like, by the way, boys, before you say anything else, I must say how much I enjoyed that recording of you travelling on that train from Moscow to St. Petersburg. Goodness gracious. Andy on vodka.
Oh, yeah, imagine. You can only imagine what that's like. Yeah, he doesn't drink it anymore. It didn't agree with
it. It wasn't good, really. I was also thinking, John, because I was watching the excellent Jimmy Greaves documentary last week on Beatano. It was a few weeks back, but I caught up with it last week. And I never realised that Barry Davis was a Spurs fan.
He never admitted that, till very, I was going to say late in life. I'm not being disrespectful to Barry. He's a very fit-looking 82. Yeah. Barry would never reveal when he was commentating all through his career which club he'd supported. And I suppose it's a similar thing with me with my Chelsea connections, because I went regularly to the Bridge, as you know, earlier before I became a commentator. I think we were all very conscious then, of course, of being accused of bias. I mean, I've been accused of being biased towards Liverpool, Manchester United, Tottenham, you name it. But I think the BBC then, of course, was very strict on neutrality and keeping a distance between, you know, excitement and joy. I know he didn't admit it. And funnily enough, I was looking through some other old games this morning. The BBC showed some yesterday. I've got a couple here, Paul, but I'm not sure that they did show. That might be just test your memory a little bit.
Right.
The sixth round of the FA Cup, 1978, West Bromwich Albion versus Nottingham Forest at the Hawthorns. Does that bring back any memories?
That was when I watched that one on Saturday.
Right, they've done that one. Well, that was when Forest were chasing the treble in their first season up in the first division under Brian Clough. They were on their way to the title. And they later won, a few days later after this game, they won the League Cup in a replay against Liverpool. But West Brom sort of stopped their march that afternoon. West Brom then under Ron Atkinson. Mick Martin scored, and then Cyril Regis got a brilliant goal.
Brilliant.
And that put Forest out the cup. And in fact, West Brom didn't get much further because they lost to Ipswich at Highbury in the semi-final.
Who went on to win it, of course. Mm. Well, another game they did that you did was Watford against Arsenal in 1987.
Yeah. Well, yes, it was. And I mean, that was at Highbury, the old Arsenal ground, of course. Sixth round, 1987. This was Graham Taylor's last season with Watford, by the way. He'd been to Wembley, of course, in 84 against Everton, and he was hoping to get there again. They'd already knocked out Chelsea. They went to Highbury, and much against expectations, Watford won 3-1. And it was a very emotional. It got quite heated because George Graham brought back a midfield player, you'll remember, called Steve Williams.
Yeah, yeah.
And he wasn't supposed to play. He'd been out injured for a while, but they put him out to try and surprise Watford. And he was very involved in a lot of incidents. But the facts of the matter are that Watford won 3-1. Luther Blissett 2 and John Barnes. And there was a row with the referee at the end because Arsenal nearly equalised, and then Watford broke away 2-1, Blissett and Barnes. And there it was, the third goal at the clock end. And Steve Williams left the pitch in a row with the referee, and George Graham intervened. It got very, very heated. But you'll definitely remember the semi-final because Watford went on. They drew Spurs at Villa Park.
Yes, yeah, I was at that one, Motti.
You were. And you remember Watford having to search for a goalkeeper because their first two goalkeepers, Steve Sherwood and Tony Coton, were injured. and
the waiter, Harry Plumley, son of the chief executive,
who was a goalkeeper, but he was, at the time he was working in a wine bar in Wales.
He was, yeah.
And they plunged him into this FA Cup semi-final. He didn't have a very good game, to be fair to Gary, but then neither did Watford, because Spurs won 4-1 and went on to the final, of course, against Coventry. But the FA Cup throws up so much excitement, doesn't it? And these games bring back so many memories. I mean, you guys seem to remember every match I mentioned.
Well, only because we watch them on the weekend.
It's interesting.
Well, not necessarily. No, but there was
one moment, though, in that match, Motti, that struck me that if it was today, I like to look at football in context of watching that football, in context of what would happen today. And that penalty shout, basically, the linesman was ignored. The linesman flagged. He was ignored by the referee. Watford went up the other end and scored. I mean, that would have been about a 10-minute VAR these days.
Oh, definitely. And I remember that incident vividly. I just remember the way, you know, the goal... The match of the day that night had to analyse it very carefully because the goal was disallowed and Watford then had three quarters of the pitch to play in. So they sealed up their victory quite comfortably there. But it just makes me think that how much the game has changed, how much quicker it's got in a way. Probably players more athletic now than they were then, possibly, I don't know. It's only, what is it, 30 years ago. Watford, of course, at that time, I mean, it was Graham Taylor's great time there, wasn't it, in the first spell when he did take them to Wembley and into Europe.
Well, look, BBC have this wonderful archive, and I think we're going to see, as do ITV, of course, and we're going to see more and more of this.
Yeah. It gives you a little sporting fix, and it's quite, you know, for me, especially, I can't remember a lot of the games, so it becomes like, you know, you don't know who's going to win.
Like watching a live match, Randy.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant, Motti.
Also, carry on. Also, I heard Terry Gibson talking a few minutes ago, Paul. I did that game, by the way, Coventry 4, Liverpool 0. I was the commentator.
Well, let's give you a little trip down memory lane. We know Terry's still listening, and Terry as well. So let's relive.
Oh, we got them.
Motti commentating on Terry's hat trick. It's his finest TV moment, Terry Gibson told us half hour ago. Here it is.
There are three the other way for Coventry. And Bennett may go again. And Gibson off the post and in. And Bamber is forward. And Gibson shot. And number three. Grobbelaar stands and wonders what's happened here. And what has happened is that Liverpool are three goals down. And Gibson has beaten Neil. Is it on here for number four? Gin and Bamba to his right. And Gibson has completed a hat-trick. What a marvellous day.
Marvellous. There we are, John.
Great moments. And I don't know if the one that Barry did, it wasn't one of your games, John, but Kevin Sheedy, I mean, I've never seen, I'd forgotten this, but he basically took a free kick, scored. Do you remember this? And it was disallowed.
And he just took it again and put it in exactly the same place.
No, he put it in the other corner.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, he put it in the other corner. It was amazing.
Yeah, he was a fantastic
player. Was that the Luton-Everton game?
That was Everton against Ipswich.
Ipswich, right. Wow. Well, I've got something to just tell you about Ipswich because in the season that I've just mentioned, when Ipswich beat West Brom in the semi-final, you're quite right, Ipswich did go on to win the cup. But on the day Forest lost at West Brom, Ipswich played at Millwall and the score was Millwall 1, Ipswich 6. And it was one of the... I hate to mention this here, but I've got to say, because it sticks in my mind. There was some crowd trouble at the Den, perhaps not the first time. The old Den I'm talking about, of course. And the referee actually took both teams off the pitch.
Wow.
And the six-round cup tie was suspended for a few minutes. And I remember Bobby Robson coming out. This, of course, was in the, well, I say, earliest days of the hooligan problem. And Bobby Robson came on to Match of the Day in the evening and started saying that they should use the birch for these hooligans. And that created a right old stir.
But, of
course, it all ended well for Ipswich because they went to Wembley and beat Arsenal.
But Alan played, Alan Brazil, of course, he played along the way to that final, didn't he? Alan might have been involved in that match, quite possibly.
I don't think he played in the final, did he?
No, he didn't play in the final, no. But he was involved. He had a few chances along the way. He played in some of the earlier rounds, I think, Alan.
He was just coming through then, you know. And I had a little joke with him when I saw him at Cheltenham last week, Paul. And I said to him, you won't remember this, I said, but you were the first footballer ever to buy me a drink.
No great surprise there.
Well, no, I know, but I didn't know him, you see. I went to an Ipswich Town players' lunch or something on the way to that cup final. Bobby Robson used to take them for a sort of a bonding lunch on the Wednesday before the game. And Alan, I walked in and I was sort of privileged to be invited. And Alan Brazil was at the bar. Well, I suppose you'd say things haven't changed a lot.
Not really, no.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, it's, I don't know if you know this, it's World Optometry Day today.
Do you know what? It passed me by.
It would do, really. And optician Tom Broughton has said that staring at porn could hurt your eyesight. So it's true then.
Yeah.
He's warned Brits, apparently.
Yeah, you are on. Yes. I mean, I put your glasses on once, and it's like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Oh, yes, so I don't know what that says about you, Andy. Yes, if that the other great research today, Andy. Oh, yeah. The cheapest place in Britain to get a portion of chips. You know where it is? I'll give you three guesses.
I'll say Skegness.
You can say that if you like, but you're wrong. Have another guess.
Oh, I don't know. Wigan.
Wigan. No, try once last time. This is last the fridge time. Freezer.
Last time. Cheapest place to get chips.
In the country.
Cheapest chips.
Cheapest chips in a city in Yorkshire.
Leeds.
No, Sheffield.
Oh, unlucky.
Sheffield, where you're paying £1.26 for a portion of chips. That's
tremendous.
Great, really timely research. Scousers pay £1.33, apparently. This is all a bit arbitrary, isn't it? In Manchester, you'll pay £1.36, but that could come with gravy. Mm. I don't know. Geordies pay £1.60. And in London, we pay a whopping £1.73.
Really?
Good 50 pence-ish more than they play in Sheffield.
Well, you know, rents and all that, and is London waiting.
Okay, well, it's nice that you've reasoned. Cambridge is the most. I mean, when Max goes home to Cambridge, he's expected to pay £2.19 for a bag of chips.
That's expensive.
And in Edinburgh, you'll go for £2.16, which is which is pushing it.
Or
never mind
£3.16 during the festival.
Yeah, that's right.
People are still getting engaged, of course, and today's announcement in the Times, the engagement between Mr. BJ Butler and Miss EJ Sketchley. Right. And I think, I hope the marriage lasts, or she might take him to the cleaners.
There we are.
There you go. Thank you very
shop
much.
That hasn't existed for about 20 years, but let's not let that get in the way.
Motti's liking that one.
Sketchley's used to be a dry cleaner's, kids. It was a chain of them. You can do. Got any Mac Fisheries material?
Fantastic. I'll bring that out.
Yeah, Andy's doing his old retail gags. Really? Does a brilliant set. Andy does a brilliant hour set. Just old retailers.
Old references.
It's fantastic. You know, I like this one, Andy. A wacky taxidermist has created a romantic range that includes engagement rings made from a mouse's bum.
Really? That sounds revolting.
His name is Jack Devaney. He does a mouse heart and rat scrotum pendants. I think rat scrotum pendants was a Frank Zappa album, wasn't it?
Probably.
And he does kidneys in diamonds. Are a girl's best friend, apparently.
I don't like the idea of that.
But yeah, his past creations includes a rat pencil case. Talking of which, I went to visit my old mum yesterday. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
But I wasn't in the room with her. I couldn't be in the room with her, of course. So I was the other side of the glass.
A lot
I didn't
of
want to infect
that.
Her, you know.
Yeah,
so
sure.
We saw Peter Reed doing exactly that with his mum. Right. And it's a bit heartbreaking, really, but it was a way of seeing her, giving away.
No,
she
better
could hear
than
me,
nothing.
I could hear her.
Yeah.
So I waved through the window and we had a bit of a chat. And as I was walking around, I kind of went to. She lives in a kind of retirement flat, so I went round the grounds to get to her kind of the window where she is.
You must have thought you were going to break in.
Well, as I was walking, I told her I was coming, so not hammering on the window, give her a heart attack. But as I was walking back, what looked like a Davy Crockett hat was lying on the grass.
Really?
And I thought, that's very interesting. I wonder who's left that there.
Yeah.
Then I realised it was a dead water rat.
Oh no!
Slightly flattened out. Yeah.
Oh, God, that's revolting.
There's a kind of stream near where she is, a reservoir, and I think it's come from there, but it did look like...
It wasn't from the Grand Order.
Oh, no.
Order.
No,
order.
The Grand Order.
The Grand Order.
No,
order.
I don't know if anybody's actually going to be wearing that, but it looked a slightly flattened out dead rat, and then I noticed the tail didn't have any... There we are. Enjoy having a late lunch this afternoon.
Jonathan Beale's got in touch with you, and he's uncovered a stash, I'd say, of old H&J shows.
Yes.
From when are they from?
From the 2000s.
Very early on.
Early 2000s.
Very early on.
2001.
Unfortunately, unfortunately, they're not broadcast quality. They're not any quality at all, but they were quite fun to listen to.
I mean, let's be honest, we've never been broadcast quality.
No, we haven't.
Let's be honest.
The show's changed remarkably little.
Yeah, we could have this chat we could have just had, and it was in 2000. There's nothing new under the sun, it makes you realise.
Not really.
True.
Readers' offers seem a bit trite at the moment. I mean, a lot so much does, but there's one today, like, own, what was it? Let's have a look. I've got it here somewhere. I'm not going to do it. It says, own the last ever UK Peter Rabbit 50p coin.
Wow.
No one will take it from you anyway.
It's all about priorities at the moment, isn't it? So if that's the thing that's worrying you...
That's not worrying me at all.
Life must be great.
Nothing. No, those things don't worry
me. The only thing that's taxing me at the moment is owning the last 50p Peter Rabbit coin.
And I feel a bit sorry for the magazines because they have such long lead-in times. So some of the stories are very unfortunate, you know, like one from the Mail on Sunday, like cruises. I mean, no one's going to go on a cruise now, are they? Best places to live are at Mars. I don't know.
Yeah.
That was in the Sunday Times.
These things will come into their own in the fullness of time. But I do agree. Adverts for cruises at the moment. Nose on the back.
Raphael van der Vaart, that was a strange one, wasn't it?
I didn't see this story, Andy. What did he do?
He basically, I'll probably not pronounce this player's name correctly. Is it Berghuis? Berghuis. Stephen Berghuis. Used to play for Watford.
Yeah.
And went back to Feyenoord. He's a £23 million rated Feyenoord winger.
Says the producer, who is a Watford fan.
Well, he was there 5 years ago, but his form this season, 22 goals and 11 assists, has alerted a number of leading clubs. But former Spurs star Raphael van der Vaart reckons Berghuis should remain in Holland after becoming a regular starter in the national team. He said, do you have to go somewhere like Everton when you're almost 29? If you go there and don't play well for two games, they'll replace you with a clumsy Englishman. Thanks. And you'll be out of the picture with the national team. Obviously not a great fan of Everton or our football.
Bit harsh, really. A clumsy Englishman.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport, where there's no live football, and specifically sport, and we've been devouring the sporting dramas and the sporting documentaries.
Yep.
And we'd had a new sporting drama that launched on Friday on Netflix, The English Game, telling the story of the very start of the game back to the old Etonians and that sort of era.
It was fascinating. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And Arthur Kinnear Jr. seemed like a really decent bloke.
He does, but according to Mike Collett, they played a touch fast and loose with history.
Yes, apparently.
But anyway, we don't mind that. It's fiction, isn't it? Written by Julian Fellowes, who gave you Downton, etc. The football scenes are very good, and we can now speak to the choreographer, the man who put all those together. It is Mike Delaney. Good afternoon, Mike.
Afternoon.
I suppose the difficult thing would have been, I mean, you do normal football choreography and it's the game as we know it, but the difference here was this was Victorian football and it was, I wouldn't say it was unrecognisable, but pretty much it was a very different game, wasn't it? Certainly in the early stages.
Yeah, completely different. I realised how little I knew about the early stages of football. So I did a load of research into it, the rules and the style of play. And when I was preparing for the filming, I thought, I hope this doesn't look like it's a complete load of nonsense because it's so different to what we're used to nowadays.
You were also on a TV show back in the 90s called You Bet that I think was introduced by people like Bruce and Matthew Kelly, and Darren Day did a series as well. What did you have to do on that?
Unless it's something that I submitted something for. I mean, I know that there were freestyle things on there. It might have been a video that I submitted at the time, but I didn't go live on that one.
You had to do kick-ups, the length of the pitch and back. Our producer did a bit of research today. So,
So that would have been probably something I submitted. Mm. Yeah, I've forgotten all about it myself. Yeah, I used to just sort of do kick-ups up and down the pitch.
Looking at some of the celebrities involved in this series, it's a bit of a time capsule. The guests on the first ever show, Richard Digents, Kate Robbins and Dickie Davis.
Marvellous.
Show two, this is a lineup you wouldn't get very often. Imagine this is a back three. Kenny Sansom, Cheryl Baker and Spike Milligan. What a fantastic show.
What a mad programme.
Have to dig those out.
But then I was reading this morning, freestyler John Farnworth travelled 50 miles across the Siberian lake. Frozen Lake, doing keepy uppies.
Yeah. I know John, he's incredible. Like, it's sort of, I mean, it's already an incredible skill that he's got, but he adds that level of endurance to it. It's you know, unbelievable.
Amazing.
Good stuff. Well, lovely to talk to you, Mike. We'll watch the rest of the series. When you can watch it, I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Thanks very much for joining us.
All right, thanks a lot. All the best.
Mike Delaney, their football choreographer. In this series, You Bet, this is from 1988. It makes you realise how people in sport have always been very mainstream, you know. So let's just look at that first series. We mentioned Dickie Davis there, who presented World of Sport. Kenny Sampson, Show 2. Linford Christie, Annika Rice and Windsor Davis. That was a lineup for Show 3. Jimmy Hill, basically every week, had a sporting connection.
Jimmy Hill did a lot of light entertainment.
He did. Jimmy Hill, Lindsay Depaul and Ross Davidson, of course, who was in EastEnders at the time.
That would have been Jimmy and Bruce on the same show.
Can you imagine John Fashanu as a sandwich between Sandra Dickinson and Gloria Hunniford? You imagine that? Well, that's what happened in You Bet.
John Sandwich.
Yeah, the John Sandwich.
Your first ever.
What else have we got here? Jonas, Suzanne Dando and Eddie Kidd.
Well, Brian Johnson?
Yeah.
Really?
Wendy Richard, Roy Castle and David Wilkie. Every week had a sports
They should start showing those again.
Henry Cooper, Thora Hurd and Nino Ferretta. I'm just shouting out names now, but there's a lot of sporting ones Gazza was in an episode of it, along with Melvin Hayes and Claire Rayner. What a time capsule. I'm sorry, this is the sort of people that used to go to Sketchley's and Matt Fisheries. Jeff Capes, Bruno Brooks and Helen Shapiro.
Marvellous.
Beginning to sound like a Tommy Cockle sketch, isn't it really?
It does.
It does a bit. We'll leave it there.
So they had to decide whether the public could do these things. Oh, yeah,
I'm aware of the fact I'm shouting out names and our producer's giving me the 1,000-yard stare.
No, he loves
stare,
it.
Because
he's
about 24.
His education.
Let me ask him now. Have you ever heard of Carmen Silvera, Sean Curley or Trevor Brooking? You've heard of Trevor Brooking, haven't you? Yeah, Trevor Brooking.
Sean Curley, of course, won a gold medal in hockey in 1988, was it?
Have you ever heard of Dame Hilda Brackett, Cliff Thorburn or Michaela Strachan? No, none. Not
what a snooker player Dame Hilda Brackett was.
She was brilliant.
She was tremendous.
She did a lot of trick shots. Michaela's still working, of course.
There you go. It's marvellous.
It's Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport, just shouting out old names, basically, from Wikipedia. Week two. But we're going to... Yes, we will take you very shortly to Copacabana Beach.
Andy Jacobs reads out old things from the Radio Times.
I think he does. Great. Week seven, Andy bangs his head against the wall. But no... Honestly, we'll keep going, even if you don't want us to. But we are off to Brazil very shortly. And a game of... we've brought lookalike cricket to Brazil back in 2014.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Mike Ward from The Star joins us a little bit later on for an evening of TV watching.
Yes.
From the many sports documentaries and dramas. And don't ask me, we'll squeeze that in as well before we hand over to Goffy and Adrian. Now we're going to transfer. We've been digging into the archive a little bit over the last week or so. And we were in Russia predominantly last week, weren't we, for the 2018 World Cup. But we go right back now to 2014 and Brazil. And a little game that Andy and I have played over the years at various events. And you've joined in as well over the years, Talk Sport listeners. But this probably was the first time we ever talked about it on the show. I think it is all quite self-explanatory. So head back to Copacabana in Rio, 2014.
We've often talked about lookalike cricket. We play lookalike cricket. It's a very, very simple game. It was myself, Andy and Frank Skinner. When we do go along to Lords, we sit there, and as people go up, we go and get a drink or go to the loo in the stands. We go for a lookalike.
Yeah.
And you might get a single or a two if they're not bad.
Yeah.
You've got a big six, of course, if are
they're
stonkers.
Yeah.
Or a four if that's a pretty tidy lookalike.
Yeah, that's right.
And then at the end of the day, we see who's won the game, don't we?
That's right.
So we thought we'd have a little bit of a game along Copacabana Beach running into Ipanema.
I think that's a very good idea. Let's be honest, we might walk for miles without seeing anybody.
Well, it's happened before. It could be quite terrible radio.
Yeah.
Can you spot one, Andy? Let me know.
I will, yeah.
At the moment, it's all looking quite bleak. I've not seen anybody,
really.
Yeah.
Basically, there's no people. It doesn't help. But there's Thiago Silva there,
though. Thiago Silva? That's not bad. That's a single.
A single.
A single for Thiago Silva. Yeah. So, one run up so far at the moment. Oh, it's Andy Smart.
That's Andy Smart.
Oh, I got there first.
Like
that's a six.
Definite six.
TV's Andy Smart from the Comedy Store Players. So, yeah. I caught up with him. So, yeah. So 6-1 to me.
Not bad. John McEnroe there in the vest.
John McEnroe in the vest? Oh, no, Andy. I'm afraid that's a...
That's
almost out. That's almost out. That's an LBW, that is.
else have we got here? Oh, it's Ronnie Moore. Ronnie Moore there just walked past the...
Rotherham manager.
That wasn't bad. No, not anymore.
Moving along then. Floating the yellow here, TV's Mr. Jackie Pallo. For wrestling fans from the 60s, that is well worth four runs.
I think Andy Smart was actually cheating. Because it is actually Andy Smart.
Yeah, he was. So
I can't get a look-alike, so I think you're still in the lead.
What's that famous American actor? I can't remember his name.
Oh, that helps. Oh, I can do that. Oh, there's Chris, who lives next to my auntie.
Yeah, here's my, my news agent.
Isn't it great to see Ernest Hemingway with us, Andy? Look.
Yeah,
Ernie Hemingway.
Yeah, that's good, Ernest Hemingway. I'm giving Paul a four for that one.
Getting ready to go is Ernie Hemingway just off...
That's very good.
Andy.
Very good. Paul. No, I think we'll give that a miss.
I don't think so.
A little bit look like Moose's relatives.
Suddenly the front has cleared ever so slightly.
I've never seen it so
empty. Honestly, yeah. All human life is here until we actually start playing look-alike cricket.
No, it's unbelievable. Here is Terry Alderton.
Yeah, come on, Terry.
That is a Terry. Look at that. What a Terry Alderton. What are you giving me for that?
I've got to be honest, my vision's getting slightly blurred from this five-rail Kyberina, so I'm not...
It's not ideal,
not really,
is it, really?
See
yeah.
who anybody is at the minute.
No, there's Juan Verón there, playing for Argentina. He's aged a bit.
Yeah. Old Juan Verón.
Beatrix Potter.
Beatrix
Potter there from Andy Smart. Well, that's fantastic. I mean, why don't you drop her a card? Because I'm sure you can line up quite a lot of work with a Beatrix Potter look-alike back in England. Oh, she can open fates, can't she? Oh, we're having a party. It's our 25th wedding anniversary. And like, we want it to be a bit starry. It's a glamoury. Can we have a Beatrix Potter look-alike?
Can you get some animals and dress them up as people?
They're always a bit creepy when they do that on the Beatrix Potter, aren't they? Who have we got there? Is that David Baddiel? No, it's not right.
David Baddiel.
Thin Omid Jalili.
Thin Omid Jalili.
Omid may be listening to this. We do apologise, Omid, but it's a very, very thin version of you who just walked past. I think I'll have two for that.
Yeah, I think that's not bad. I'll give you a
Dominic
two for that.
McGuinness. Dominic McGuinness joins us.
Our own TalkSport's own Dominic McGuinness. That's tremendous there. I'm giving you four runs.
Four runs
for that.
Fantastic.
Tremendous effort. No question about it.
It's Leighton Baines.
Leighton Baines. Good afternoon, Leighton. How are you doing? Tremendous. I'm giving you four runs for that as well. That was a tremendous Leighton Baines. You can't argue with that.
I think I may have edged in front.
You could well be in front now. And here he is, Frankie Dettori.
That's Andy. We should have runs deducted from Frankie
Dettori. Yeah, only in the height. He was quite small.
What would we say so? Let's take stock then. The one that looked most like the person, would you say, was Leighton Baines or
Leighton
not?
Baines, yeah.
And the one that was the best.
Oh, yeah, that's a good lookalike. Who are you?
No, I just recognised
that. Oh, that's good.
How are you doing?
Oh, I thought they were playing lookalike cricket and he spotted me.
Fan like you,
oh, that's fantastic.
Well, so the first day's play is over. It's been a good day. Let's reflect on it. We'd say Leighton Baines ultimately was probably the best lookalike, would you say?
I quite like Ernest Hemingway and Terry Alderton.
Okay, fair enough. I'd say the most obscure one was Andy Smart's Beatrix Potter.
Pretty good, actually.
Not a bad first day. I think I've slightly edged it.
I think you have. What's disappointing is when we play this game in where TalkSport Towers is based, it's brilliant, isn't it? But here at the Copacabana, it has been slightly disappointing.
Oh, come on. We've had Leighton Baines, Beatrix Potter, Terry Alderton. Let's be honest. Terry's a mate. But it's not difficult to find a Terry Alderton, really.
Thin Omid Jalili was good.
Thin Omid Jalili, yeah. With respect, Omid. And who else did we find?
I found a bloke that didn't look like anything like Frankie Dettori.
Yeah, so I'd say that's not a bad haul.
Yeah, a bit of a daft game, but you can play
along.
Especially
on the radio.
I'd normally say you have to trust us. These people looked a bit like the ones we said they did. But obviously, we don't want people to be walking through crowds at the moment. So I think lookalike cricket is very much suspended until later in the year, because you do need a crowd of people.
The Cape Arenas we bought on the beach, were lethal.
Along the beach at Copacabana, they would just have little stalls. And we had a guy called Eddie who was our fixer, who was an Italian married to a Brazilian girl and spoke Portuguese, and so was our translator whilst we were there and our fixer for various events. And we walked along the beach with him. He came along with us when we did the lookalike cricket and recorded it. And there was a store, it was a mother and son selling caipirinha, selling sort of alcohol, basically, little cocktails on the beach. And they were about £1.20 each,
yeah,
weren't they? And so we said to Eddie, are these all right? Because she basically had a big industrial drum of alcohol she was making them. And really I think, you know, blind or something. What can we trust this? And he said, oh, yeah, they're fine. They're good. You know, they wouldn't be. They've been there for years. Mother and son team been there for years.
I'm not sure.
So, but man, they were strong, weren't they?
Yeah.
You could possibly hear that towards the end of Lookalike Cricket. But anyway, we're all right.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talk Sport.
Don't ask me to leave it out.
Here we go then, five questions based on last week's shows.
Where's Adrian to ridicule me?
Well, he'll be sitting there ready to go any moment to give
eyebrows
you some stick
raised,
at the end of this.
Of course.
That's right. He's out there listening, don't worry about that. So, we brought you racing on Friday. We had a chat with Ed Chamberlain, of course, because he had a big race meeting to go to, well, certainly to broadcast on Saturday. Where did it come from?
Thurles,
that's right. He was getting a lot of stick for his pronunciation of it. I think Mick Fitzgerald was giving him some cloth. He did very well, actually. I watched some of the racing during the afternoon. The guys did a good job. So there we are, Thurles it is. So one out of one. We spoke to John Chapman, who was a member of a foundation, and got a phone call from Declan Rice. Do you know what they're called?
Yes, it's the Hammers Foundation.
Foundation for
Old irons.
Any old irons? That's right. Yeah, their senior membership. Ooh. We spoke to David Bumble Lloyd, former cricketer and cricket coach, broadcaster. It was his birthday last week. He celebrated in isolation. How old was he?
75.
73, Andy.
Sorry, David.
Terribly sorry. You put 2 years on Bumble. We won't thank
Stop
you for
that. The car.
Stop the car. That's right. We spoke to Gary Wyatt, a coach, last week. Which country was he coaching in?
China.
Well done, Andy.
Don't ask me the name of the team.
I think those 2 years are going to do for you in the end.
Yeah, I know.
So I think we've just got one more left. We're playing for pride now.
Well, 4 out of 5 I'll take.
Yeah, okay. We spoke to Tim Vine. He was in the studio with us last Monday. He's touring with a show called
Plastic Elvis.
Yep, those 2 years you put on Bumble
showed me up
with a difference there. Yeah, surprisingly good. I'm sure it certainly surprised Adrian Durham.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That's this afternoon's show. Of course, You Bet. We were telling you about You Bet, the old TV show there, which I might wonder if they're still on YouTube. I'm interested. Now I'm intrigued just because of some of those sporting
the
lineups.
Watching old You Bet.
Yeah. Anyway, we will catch up with you tomorrow. And yes, stay safe and thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.